Okay, good evening. Tonight's topic is Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Tes, the 19th chapter of Melachim Aleph. Just for a 1 minute of introduction, happens that tonight, I think this is why my mother just called me a minute ago, tonight's my grandfather's Yahrzeit. So my grandfather was named William or Velvel or Wolfcats, depending on who was speaking to him. He lived in Far Rockaway for many, many years. He married my grandmother in 1927. I'm not exactly sure when he came to the States. He came sometime beforehand. He was engaged to my grandmother. That's how she came to America, because they were supposed to get married. They were cousins. My grandparents. What?
Did they have sidewalks in Far Rockaway?
I don't know. I probably could check out pictures. But my grandfather actually, for a brief period of time, had been a student in what became YU. Afterwards, he was a classmate of Rabbi Joseph Luckstein. He left work. I believe his father passed away, and he had to go and work. So he left. He left school. I believe, again, I don't know the details. Obviously, I didn't really know him. This is just what I knew about my grandfather, so I just would like to dedicate tonight's shiur in his memory. So tonight we're discussing Perek Yud Tes of Melachim Aleph. If you remember, last week was like the highlight of all of Judaism. No, there's this event at Har HaKarmel, right? Basically, Eliyahu gathers the Nevi'ei HaBaal, and he challenges them, who can bring fire down? And Eliyahu wins, they lose. He taunts them. He wins big time, as we'd say, right? It was huge, right? This was like unbelievable. They like pour water, and Eliyahu pours water, right? He unites the Jewish people in a Mizbeach out of 12 stones for the 12 tribes. You know, all 12 tribes are not here. The water is poured like 12 times. Basically, to unite the Jewish people, everyone finishes off by saying Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. The Nevi'ei HaBaal are taken down to the valley. They are executed. They are killed. According to one read of the Psukim, it's Eliyahu himself who kills them. Right. So this was the end of last week. This is a highlight. This week we encounter an Eliyahu who is actually very different. At the very beginning, right, this is actually the last pasuk in Perek Yud Ches, right, the very beginning says, V'yad Hashem Haisa El Eliyahu V'yishanes Masnav, and God's hand was on Eliyahu, he strengthened himself, he ran before Ahab until they came to Yisrael. Basically, Ahab is going in a chariot, Eliyahu is running to catch up to Ahav. Now, why is Eliyahu running to catch up to Ahav? So the Mefarshim comment, and I give you a Malbim over here who says this. Basically, Eliyahu is trying to give honor to King Ahav, because Eliyahu says, you know what? Ahav saw the light, right? God, Hashem Hu Elokim. Ahav sees the light. I'm going to give him honor. This is going to be the time when finally the king accepts Hashem as God and everything, right, goes hunky-dory. So he runs. And then, right, things begin to change. Right, we have a few psukim over here. Ahav tells Izebel what Eliyahu did and that Eliyahu killed all of the prophets with this sword. Izebel sends a messenger to Eliyahu, and the messenger says, God should do this and this to you, because by tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. Right? So, Ahav, apparently, Eliyahu had a good read of the situation. Eliyahu reads the situation that Ahav is in fact inspired, and Ahav in fact is going to return to God. And you can read this pasuk, there's a word in pasuk Aleph that repeats three times, the word kol. Right, Ahav says, "Kol Asher Yasa Eliyahu, Kol Asher Haragis, Kol Hanaviim." Right, that word "Kol" appears three times. Everything. In other words, Ahav is like almost frantic. He's like, "Oh, this is amazing." The Briskers are never into like emotion. Briskers are into halachic categories. So they quote from Rav Velvel Soloveitchik that there's a special halacha that when you recognize a miracle, you have to tell other people about it. So Ahab is so excited. Oh, there's like an amazing miracle that happened. And he begins to, right, get excited and tell everybody, this is what happened, and all the prophets are killed, blah, 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 and the fire, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like frantic. He tells it to his wife. What? It sounds like it's a type of tshuva because it sounds like he's saying all the miracles that Hashem did, and like it sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good. But what happens is he tells his wife Izebel. Izebel is not a very, very impressive figure. He tells his wife Izebel about all these things that happened, and Izebel says, "Oh, you know what? The gods are going to get him." Now, when she says the gods, right, in the plural, she means Avodah Zarah. In other words, Izebel is not moved at all by this episode.
I was learning this recently, I came to this spot with Rabbi Josh.
Yeah.
I flashed ahead to Megillat Esther because of the Eliyahu running ahead and then Ahab telling Izebel, and it's like the scene where Haman is leaving Mordechai,
mm-hmm.
and when Haman comes back,
he tells his wife,
yeah.
And that's very interesting. That could be another, and Chazal actually says similarly that Haman's wife was even more wicked than Haman was. But you know, at this point, you get the impression that Ahab is really not so. I mean, maybe he was really, really wicked, but he was in the stage of returning. But Izebel says, no, right? We can't have this go on. Eliyahu sees the writing on the wall, Pasuk Gimel, Vayar, Vayakam, Vayelech El Nafsho, Vayavo Be'er Sheva Shel Yehuda, Vayanach Et Na'aro Sham. Eliyahu runs away to Be'er Sheva. Now, Be'er Sheva is in a different country. Be'er Sheva Shel Yehuda. Be'er Sheva is in the northern kingdom. Right? He runs away from, right? Ahav is the king of, what? Did I just say it backwards?
Yeah.
Okay, I said it backwards. It's fine. So he runs into Be'er Sheva, thank you, which is in the southern kingdom, which is in Yehuda. He runs away there. He leaves Ahav's kingdom. He's now in Yehuda, and he's away. And then Eliyahu doesn't even stay in Yehuda. You get the impression he probably could have been safe in Yehuda, but Pasuk Dalet means he goes even further. V'hu halach b'midbar derech yom, v'yavo v'yeshev tachat rotem echad, v'yishat nafsho lamut. He goes in the desert, a day's journey. He goes under a particular tree. They translate it as a broom tree. Usually, I'm not sure exactly what type of tree Rotem is, but in Tehillim, we have Gachalei Ritamim. You have coals that are made out of this particular wood from Rotem. Apparently, it's a wood that burns very hot. That's Rotem, whatever it is. So he's under this tree. Vayishan nafsho lamut. And he wants to die. Vayomer rav ata Hashem kach nafshi, ki lo tov anochi me'avotai. He says, God, take me away. I'm not better than any of my predecessors. He lies down under this tree, and the malach comes to him and says, go and eat. Now, this is a striking difference, no? Here's Eliyahu, should be on the top of the world, and suddenly, he's away in the desert, and he's asking to die. What changed? What changed in Eliyahu? Why is he asking to die? The malach comes, and basically, you get an impression, you could read the story, Eliyahu's lying down to die, he's not eating. The malach comes and says, no, you got to eat, you have to stay alive. And Eliyahu ends up eating and staying alive, etc. So what changes? Now, before we analyze what changes, just to pick up on the symbolism of how much changed, Izebel is the enemy. Izebel says, tomorrow you're going to die. Eliyahu runs away, and he says, kill me. He is trying, on a certain level, to fulfill what Izebel wanted. Izebel says, you're going to die! Right? And Eliyahu runs away, and he says, let me die! And just to make the parallel even stronger, Pasuk Bet, Vatishlach Izevel Malach El Eliyahu. Izevel sends in a malach, a messenger to Eliyahu. And here we have in Pasuk He, a malach touches Eliyahu. You get the impression, right, that the repetition of malach over here is quite significant. And Izevel wants to send a messenger slash malach to kill Eliyahu, and Eliyahu ends up being saved by a malach when he wants to die. There is something really interesting over here. Let me hear from Lev and from Frida.
My thought was that the reason why Eliyahu wants to die is because maybe he thinks that he hasn't really fulfilled his destiny. Because
he has or has not fulfilled his
destiny?
He has not.
Because his destiny was to try to change the head of the snake.
Good.
To stop wishing of Azara, and he wasn't able to. So he's saying he's no different than anyone else because he's not able to.
Okay, I am going to agree with you about this. Although I'll show that the Malbim has a different take. In other words, one could argue right, that what Eliyahu is doing is he's saying, I'm a failure. I tried to make the Jewish people return to God, and look what happened. Izevel is out to kill me. That means I failed. I blew it.
Does anybody contrast him with Yonah?
So we spoke about that briefly a week or two ago. Possibly. I was thinking a lot about that today. I haven't fully developed it, but I see a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The desire to die is very similar. The Medrash actually compares Eliyahu to Yonah on a certain level in terms of how Yonah was only interested in the Jewish people, was not interested in God. Yonah wants to hide prophecy in order to save the Jewish people. Eliyahu is only interested in God, is not interested in the Jewish people. Eliyahu basically is saying, those Jews, who needs them? God, right? He's like, well, wait. Yes, but I want to develop that more in a minute. Yeah, Frida?
Just a side comment. First I was going to say, can you spell manic and present? But, I mean, it's also, I'm going to say, I'd rather die by God's hand than by Ezekiel's hand.
Right, so that could be. I mean, it's similar almost to Shaul. I'd rather die by my own hand than by the enemy, possibly.
Yeah.
But I would argue, and I think this is what Lottie was getting at a minute ago, that Eliyahu is the paradigm of a kanoi. A kanoi is a zealot. Now, by definition, a kanoi can only see things one way. That's what a kanoi is. Now, it's my way or the highway. Nothing else to talk about. And sometimes when you look at stuff, and it's not a lens, it's a prism of there's only one way to see things. If there's one thing that doesn't fall into place, you say, I'm a failure. Usually, a person, right, is able with a balanced type of personality. I could say, you know what, I got a 90 on the test. That's pretty darn good. Right? I got a 95. That's okay. Right? I could say that. But if I am a perfectionist kanoi, right? So then, oh my gosh, I got one mark! Right? You get that impression that Eliyahu is that type of personality. What Eliyahu is doing, he's saying, I'm a failure. Because Izevel didn't take it. Now, the Malbim, in a few comments over here, actually takes the opposite approach. The Malbim says that Eliyahu wanted to die because he was saying, my life's mission has been fulfilled. I've accomplished all that I can accomplish. I can't do more. So take me. Right? It's a much nicer, more positive read, but I like the way I just read it. So that's what we'll stick with. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be even more positive to say, I finished my mission. Now I can party a little.
But now I can die. Right? Now.
How does Malvin get
to now?
Do we know how the Malvin gets what he's saying?
Do we know what?
How the Malvin.
The Malvin just says his Peirush. Again, one of the nice things, I was talking to my son about this. My son was telling me about how he enjoys learning Tanakh more than learning Gemara, because when he learns Tanakh, he feels that any question and any suggestion that he gives to answer a question is accepted as being a valid possibility. And when he learns Gemara, the teachers are very inclined to say, no, that's wrong. It's against Rashi, it's against Tosis. And my son is very frustrated. And I was thinking about that. I think the methodology that we use when we teach Gemara is sometimes not particularly healthy, because what we really should be doing is saying, you know what, that is a valid possibility. Let's try to figure out why Rashi does not read it that way, right? Instead of rejecting it. Right? Unfortunately, for some reason, the teaching of Gemara has come to a point today where it's more about conveying a certain basic set of ideas that have to be accepted, and the teaching of Tanakh, at least through the school that we've been using, the school that Yeshiva Haaretz Zion is publishing, is very open to many different possibilities, and that's a good thing. What?
Archaeology
is part of it. Now, any evidence that I bring can be a good thing. So let's just continue. Let's just continue with Eliyahu. Eliyahu says, I want to die. He looks around. The Malach says, you have to eat. He looks around. Pasuk Vav. He sees that there is like some cake. Ugat v'tzafim v'tzapachat mayim. Some cake and some water. He eats, he drinks, and then he goes back to bed. By the way, just some parallel to earlier, the story with Eliyahu and the Ishat Sorfatit, there is an ugah that is made. So he sees the same thing. And these things keep on coming back to create a story. So Eliyahu goes to sleep a second time. A malach comes again to Eliyahu and touches him. He says, get up, because there's a lot that you got to do. He gets up, he eats, he drinks. And he goes, based on that one eating, for 40 days and 40 nights, until he comes to Chorev. I just want to pause on this story point for 1 minute, and I want to look at the Radak, but we really don't even need the Radak for this. He goes for 40 days and 40 nights until he gets to Chorev. So what is this mean? So the Radak on Pasuk Chet, it's the top of page 3, he points out that we have someone else in Chumash, right, who went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. Moshe Rabbeinu. So, the Radak makes the point, which is interesting. Look at this Radak. B'koach achila hahi. Lo haya zekenes Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki bo nemar, aba'im yom v'aba'im layla lechem lo achal, mayim lo shata. V'lo amar sha'amar b'koach achila. U'be'eliyahu amar b'koach achila. K'lo mashen nishtahe ha'ma'achal b'itzdumka, v'lo bishla ota ha'koach ha'mbashalat, v'lo mashla ota ha'koach ha'mosheich. In other words, the Radak is saying that Eliyahu ate food, and that food remained in his stomach for 40 days and 40 nights and continued to nourish him. And that's different than Moshe Rabbeinu, who went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. In other words, it's as if Eliyahu was actually eating these 40 days, all these 40 days, because that same food, it's mashal like a cow. You know, like the food can remain after, right? And that food continues to nourish Eliyahu for 40 days, after 40 nights. And the Radak is making the point that Eliyahu is unlike Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, two questions. One, what motivates the Radak to say Eliyahu is not like Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? And
well,
nobody is like Moshe Rabbeinu. What? Oh, so no one is like Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's go slowly. Let's go slowly. Right? We know no one's like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one of the principles of faith. Right? The nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than the nevuah of all other Nevi'im. Do the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu have to be greater than all other miracles? If I say that some other prophet at some point in time did a miracle that was greater than the miracle of Moshe Rabbeinu, am I a heretic? Probably not. Maybe. So let's read the last psukim in the Chumash. Right? Dvarim Parashat Rizot HaBracha, the bottom of page 3. V'lo kam navi v'Yisrael k'moshe asher yida'o Adonai panim el panim. Right? There's no prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu who knew God face to face. His prophecy is greater. Next pasuk. Lechol haotot amofetim asher shlacho Adonai lasot be'eretz Mitzrayim lefaro ulchol avadav ulchol arzo. All the miracles that Moshe did. Otot amofetim, by the way, are two different types of miracles. The Ramban points out, otot are miracles that are a sign that attest to something that I said beforehand. If I say this will happen and it happens, that's an ot. A mofet is wowza, right? And out of nowhere. So Moshe, right, the pasuk says, Moshe is the greatest Navi. Then the next pasuk says, v'chol ha'otot ha'moftim. And all the miracles that he did. And all the strong hand that, right, Moshe did. Le'inei ko Yisrael, end of the Torah. These are the last pasukim in the Torah. What do these pasukim mean? The Sefer HaIkarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, says that the meaning of these psukim are that the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did are greater than the miracles that any other prophet ever did, and that's exactly what the Torah is saying. And that might be what motivates the Ramban over here to say, don't think that that Eliyahu's not eating for 40 days is like Moshe's, because they incomparable. Oh. Moshe has a greater miracle. Right? That, I think, is what motivates the Ramban. It's based on that comment of Rabbi Yosef Albo, based on these last psukim. It happens that when the Rambam formulates the Ikari Ha'amuna, when the Rambam formulates the principles of belief, the Rambam only says that we have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet. The Rambam never says that we have to believe that the miracles done by Moshe Rabbeinu are greater than the miracles done by any other prophet. Now, this, in part, is because of something that I like to repeat, which is that Maimonides is not a great believer in miracles. Maimonides tells us, Rambam says, you know what? We didn't trust Moshe Rabbeinu because he did miracles, because if you believe based on miracles, you're like a person of a weak mind. Those weak-minded people, that by, in Maimonideanism, that's like the biggest insult possible. You weak-minded guy, right? That's like the biggest insult. And the Rambam says that we didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu because he did lots of miracles. And therefore, for the Rambam, Rambam always downplays miracles. Right? We spoke about C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis believes that miracles can be the basis of faith. The Rambam tells us that ain't true. We didn't believe because of the miracles. The reason why we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu is because we were there. We were all at Har Sinai and we heard God speaking to Moshe. Not because of miracles. Rabbi Yosef Albo, apparently, is more in the camp that miracles are very significant. And to say that, he adds that Darf Min Vissen, he's speaking Yiddish, he said that you should know that the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu are greater than the miracles of any other prophet, and that's exactly what this pasuk means. L'chol ha'osos ha'mosim means that Moshe Rabbeinu's miracles are greater than the miracles of any other are greater than any other miracles of prophets. Now, the Ramban, if you read this Ramban carefully and slowly, at the end, the last Ramban of HaTorah, the Ramban has two different ways of reading this pasuk L'chol ha'otot. Right? One way of reading it is that it's connected to the previous pasuk. In other words, V'lo kam navi ol Yisrael k'moshe l'chol ha'otot, that there's been no greater prophet than Moshe, and all the miracles of Moshe are greater. That's what Yosef Albo's way of reading it. The other way of saying it is that V'lo kam navi ol Yisrael k'moshe, that Moshe is the greatest navi. Moshe knew God, panim el panim, face to face, and God did all of these great miracles. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're coming directly through Moshe. That's, we're not speaking about the fact that Moshe is greater than other prophets. The Ramban over here, I give you the full text of the Ramban, he has two different reads of this pasuk, which I think is significant to understanding Eliyahu. But this brings us to the continuation of our perek. Let's go back to our perek.
Didn't you also say that if we're treating Eliyahu as a as a heretic. And Moshe,
I didn't say that.
He said, I'm treating him as a Kaddai.
Big A.
Okay.
They're both English words, but they don't mean the same thing.
Okay. Right, you're right. They're different because Moshe was humble, and he didn't act like a zealot.
Maybe. I think that's probably correct. But I want to talk about parallels between Moshe and Eliyahu now, because I think this will add a dimension. This chapter, Eliyahu goes, Pasukhet, he eats, he drinks, right? That eating takes him for 40 days and 40 nights, until he gets to Har HaElokim Chorev, to the mountain of God, which is Chorev. What was that mountain of God, Chorev? Har Sinai. Eliyahu travels all the way to Har Sinai. Now, obviously, when I say the words Har Sinai, right, the image of Moses pops into my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And Eliyahu goes 40 days and 40 nights. Also, that's a Moshe-type image. And then, Vayavosham el Hame'ara, he comes to the cave. Now, what's the cave?
Ah.
Well, there was a cave that Moshe was in right after Sinai.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu v'samticha v'nikrat ha'sur, right? V'sakoticha pi alecha ad ofri. Moshe Rabbeinu is like hiding in a cave and God passes by. Moshe says, God, let me see you. Right? Ha'ini nat kvodecha. And God says, you can't see me. Right? You can't see me and live. Right? But God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanon. Right? And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin teaches us that God has told Moshe Rabbeinu the secret for prayer. God has told Moshe Rabbeinu at that moment, in the rock, etc. You know what, Moshe, you can't understand things the way I see things. You can't see me, but I'm going to tell you the way you should act. The way you should act is Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum B'chanun, that we should act with compassion, right? The Yigum Yidus HaRachamim are all things that we're supposed to do. Right? We're supposed to daven to Hashem. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Milamish Nisatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishaliyach Tzibor V'her Ela Moshe Seder Tzfilah, that God like envelops himself, as it were, Kiviyako, in the talis and prays like a Shaliyach Tzibor would pray. And this is the prayer that God says. So Eliyahu now goes to this same cave. Right? The Radak comments, Vayavosham El Hama'ara. The Radak writes, Hama'ara means, this was Ma'ara Haita Bahar Sinai, Ve'aleha Nema B'samticha B'nikrat HaTzur. It's the same rock that Moshe Rabbeinu was there, same cave. And he goes to that same cave, and God appears to him, and God says, Malacha Po Eliyahu. Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Now, let's take a step back. There's a parallel between the Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu. And, right? Well, this story is all parallel. But unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who God says, I'm going to teach you how to pray for the Jews, Eliyahu, right? God turns to him and says, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Malacho po Eliyahu. Let's just go back for a second. Pasuk Gimel. After Izebel says she's going to kill Eliyahu, Pasuk Gimel says, Vayar vayakam vayelech el nafsho. What does vayelech el nafsho mean? So the English here translates, he went for his life. But how else can we translate Vayelech el nafsho? He went to his soul. One could argue that Eliyahu, after this episode on Har HaKarmel, and he feels a bit like a failure, decides, you know what, I'm going to become an introvert. I'm no longer going to do anything for the Jewish people. I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to run away, seclude myself, ponder the deep thoughts, deep existence, whatever it is, by Yakam Bayelach El Nafsho. And God turns to Eliyahu, after Eliyahu runs away, and God says, Malacha po Eliyahu. Eliyahu, what are you doing here? This ain't your job, God is saying. Your job as a Navi is to help the Jews. Right? Now, how does Eliyahu answer? Pasuk Yud, Vayomer, Kano, Kaniti, Lashem, Elokei Tzvakot. I have been a zealot. I'm jealous for God. Ki azu britcha b'nei Yisrael. Et mizbuchotecha harasu at neviyecha hargu b'choreg. Mechare ba'avater ani levadi vayvakshuat nafshi lakachta. He says, oh, I'm God. I'm fighting your battle, God. Right? And those Jewish people of yours, they are not listening to you, but I'm fighting your battle. Right? In other words, Eliyahu doesn't get the message. God says, Eliyahu, pray. Be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We're doing this whole thing. Yeah, I'm doing this episode. This is all in the Malbim, by the way. And I give you all the Malbims here. But God says, Eliyahu, right? I want you to help the Jews. Eliyahu says, why should I help those people? Ebritcha, right? Azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael. Which Chazal say, by the way, means Eliyahu is saying, the Jewish people don't even circumcise their children. The Tanit Ve Eliyahu writes, the Medrash says, that for this reason Eliyahu Hanavi is punished, and he has to come to every bris milah. Right? You think it's so easy to have to come to every single bris milah? He's busier than Pinky Katzenstein. Right? Think about it. Eliyahu Hanavi is coming to every single bris.
And everyone
say it. Right?
And every say it. Well, we're not talking about the Seder now. But Eliyahu is coming to every prayer. Why? It's a punishment. Because Eliyahu is being critical of the Jews. He's saying the Jews, them Jews, they don't keep bris milah. Them Jews, they destroyed the Mizbeach. So then Hashem returns Eliyahu, Yud Aleph. And Hashem says, Seba Mata Bahar Lifnei Hashem. Go out on the mountain, and God will come by. And there will be a wind, and there will be a earthquake. There will be a wind, lo beruach Hashem. After that wind, there will be like an earthquake, lo berash Hashem. After the rash will be a fire, lo be'esh Hashem. Achar ha'esh kodma madaka. But it says the Malbim, you know what's going on over here? You know what the imagery is? The imagery is, oh, first there's like powerful winds, then there's like the ground shakes, then there's fire. In other words, Eliyahu, you think that the way to do stuff is fire and brimstone and screaming, them Jews, right? They don't do anything. God says, no, no. The real way to do it is kod mamadaka, is that you speak with a soft voice. You motivate. You encourage. You don't say, you are burning in hell, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you about purgatory. It ain't pretty. Right? That southern preacher style, that ain't what we want, God says. I apologize if
No, it's cute. Those guys don't talk about purgatory. The time of miracles.
And that it was time for normal life, to have joy, and that.
Okay.
That's good.
Miracles and.
So, but the fact is that Eliyahu Hanavi is being criticized for being too harsh,
right.
But he doesn't get it, right? When Eliyahu hears the message in Pasuk Yud Gimel, by Hikishma Eliyahu, Vayalet Panav Ba'adar Tov. You know what he does? God is telling him, he hides his face. In other words, he wants to retreat inside himself. He wants to say, I don't want it. Right? And there's a call, a noise, a voice, and it says, Malachapo Eliyahu. Same thing, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And Eliyahu gives the same answer. I've been jealous. Right? Again, the Jewish people, they're not doing their end of the bargain. I'm the only one. So God says, you know what, Eliyahu? That's your attitude. You're the only one who could do it? That's not what I want for a Navi. God replaces Eliyahu with a Navi. Elisha is appointed to succeed Eliyahu because Eliyahu is not living up to the mandate of a Navi. A Navi is supposed to help the Jews, and Eliyahu is not doing that. This is the episode as read by the Malbim. It's really beautiful. Now, the parallels between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu go deeper, by the way. Both Moshe and Eliyahu have to run away because they're scared of being killed.
Right.
Right? There are many, many parallels between Moshe and Eliyahu. I think we've outlined a number of them. If you want, we could try to find a few more.
Was Elisha Eliyahu student?
Yes.
So,
I mean, that's what we're going to see
later. Okay, so if he's learning from Eliyahu, why does he
So apparently there are things that Eliyahu can teach Elisha in terms of being a proper prophet, but at the same time Eliyahu is being removed because he's too much of a Kanai. Now the Perek.
But God's saying also that he's not a prophet. Eliyahu is not a proper prophet.
Eliyahu is not a proper prophet in this one element.
Right.
And Elisha is going to learn 95%, and maybe the message is, you know what, getting a 95 on the test ain't so bad. Eliyahu, yeah, the purest, yeah, right? Like we spoke, yeah, about before. Right now, God tells Eliyahu, return, anoint Hazael to be the king of Aram. Hazael will end up going and destroying the northern kingdom. Anoint Yehu ben Nimshi to be the king over Israel, and anoint Elisha as the next Navi, etc., and the psukim continue and describe only how Elisha is anointed. So there's a lot more to say, obviously, but I think we're going to break over here. I think this episode with Eliyahu is really fascinating in terms of what Hashem is saying the proper attitude is. The proper attitude is not Kano Kinisi Hashem Lokeit Svatos. That's not the proper attitude.
It's not to be a purist.
It's not to be such a purist, except in 95. Okay, Heber, thank you for listening.
Thank you.